It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson in for Kate Archer Kent. Nearly 200 Wisconsin police officers who were fired or let go due to misconduct are back in uniform. That's according to a new investigation from the Badger Project. Of the 200, some were fired for more minor reasons, like being a rookie officer who didn't quite make the cut during their probationary period. But others were let go for misconduct, sometimes severe. Our next guest joins us to talk more about that investigation. Now, are you concerned about misconduct? How do you think police departments should handle officer misconduct? How would you like to see, more transparency with hiring? Call 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. Peter Cameron is an investigative journalist and the managing editor for the Badger Project. That's a nonpartisan journalism nonprofit that covers Wisconsin state government and politics. Peter, welcome to the morning show.
Good morning.
So let's talk a little bit about this investigation. You used documents from the Wisconsin Department of Justice because it's been keeping data on officers who have been fired or maybe resigned before they were fired since 2017. Now, more than 1,000 Wisconsin officers that have been fired in the last 5 years, around 200 of those have been back on the force. Can you talk about the different reasons for termination?
Sure. Let me just say first that there are about 13,500 law enforcement officers in Wisconsin. And so that 200 that have been fired or forced out, resigned in lieu of termination, that's about 1%, a little bit over 1% of total officers in the state. So the 200 number can sound like a lot, but I just want to put it in context. But some of the reasons, yeah, like you said, a lot of them, when police are hired, they're usually hired they have a probationary period. So the bar to fire somebody early on is very low, kind of like a teacher. And so if they're just not doing a good job, they might get fired. They might be asked to resign. But but they're also, like you said, there was some officers in there that committed misconduct. There was public intoxication. There was there's some officers currently working with DUIs, with DUI convictions, lying to superior officers, sexual harassment, sending photos via phones. So yeah, lots of different reasons.
So, you know, as you just mentioned, some of this could be pretty minor. I believe I read that, you know, rookie officers can be let go even if they're just, you know, for reasons like they're just not really a good fit for the department. But let's talk about some of that more severe misconduct, because you did profile, you know, a few of these officers that had been let go for, you know, having drunken run-ins with the police previously or sleeping in a squad car. Can you talk a little bit about that level of misconduct?
Yeah, I mean, so one of the officers had several run-ins with police before and after he was a police officer. Lots of young men get in trouble in Wisconsin due to alcohol. So one officer was in a couple of bar fights. He was working for New Berlin police, and he was not a stranger to Waukesha police, which apparently is where he was going to the bars. And thrown out of bars, getting punched in the face, things like that. There was another officer who was accused of sleeping on the job. He denies it, but a superior officer accused him of walking up to his squad car, and he said he was fast asleep with a video up on his phone, up on the steering wheel. So the allegation was that he was watching videos while supposed to be patrolling. And then multiple allegations against police officers for male police officers, a lot of times, for sending photos to female police officers, saying inappropriate things to female police officers, a lot of that as well.
We are talking to Peter Cameron right now, investigative journalist and managing editor of the Badger Project. That's a nonpartisan journalism nonprofit that covers Wisconsin state government and politics. And he's with us to talk about an investigation about police officers that were fired or let go that make it back onto police forces. Now, you just mentioned this misconduct that has happened. These officers that we talked about are back on the force. Do police agencies not know about these officers' records, or does it not matter when it really comes down to it?
So the reason I was able to do this story is because Wisconsin keeps track of the Wisconsin Department of Justice flags officers who have been fired, who have resigned in lieu of termination, who have resigned before the completion of an internal investigation. So, I mean, that the fact that the state does that puts us ahead of a lot of other states. Some states don't even track misconduct. But if an officer came from Iowa, was fired in Iowa and came into Wisconsin, or fired from another state, that wouldn't be tracked in this database. I wouldn't know about it. The state wouldn't know about it. There is a national database, but that only tracks decertifications. And decertification, you need your certification to be a police officer, to be a law enforcement officer in Wisconsin. If you're decertified, then you can't do that. And then you're decertified for being convicted of a felony, more higher offenses than the ones we were looking at. There in Congress, there's a George Floyd bill that would do a lot of police reform things, and they want to strengthen the police, this bad cop registry. So that's something that's potentially on the table. It's passed out of the democratically controlled House, but it's sort of stalled in the Senate. But that's something potentially could happen in the future. Let me also talk about, there's a bill in the legislature, a bipartisan bill, that would mandate every law enforcement agency create a personnel file on every law enforcement officer. And they would also have to disclose that personnel file to a new agency that was trying to hire this officer. And that's significant because one thing that law enforcement agencies sometimes have done is that if I'm a police chief, I have an officer I want to fire. If he's protected by the union, if he's off his probationary period, it can be a long process. It can be difficult to do. And so something that law enforcement agencies sometimes will do is they'll make an agreement with that officer. They'll say, all right, if you resign without a fuss, we will seal your personnel file. So if a new employer, potential employer, calls us up and says, you know, we want to hire this person, what can you tell us about them? We'll just say, no, sorry, the file is sealed. So in a sense, protecting that bad officer. So this bill would hopefully prevent that. And again, it's a bipartisan bill, and it passed out of committee on a unanimous vote, both Democrats and Republicans voting for it. It's Republican written in a Republican majority legislature. So I don't make predictions about these kind of things, but it could pass once the legislature gets back into session after their summer break here.
We are talking to investigative journalist Peter Cameron right now. He's the managing editor of the Badger Project, a nonpartisan journalism nonprofit that covers Wisconsin state government and politics. We're talking about fired police officers who make it back onto the force, and you can join in the conversation now. What would you like to see, learn more about in this issue? What kind of police reform would you like to see? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll take your comments and calls in just a moment. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. Right now, we continue our conversation about Wisconsin police officers who were fired or let go, who make it back onto the force, sometimes for being a rookie officer that didn't make it during the probationary period, but sometimes also for much more severe misconduct. We're talking about the circumstances that lead to the police being fired and rehired. Our guest right now is Peter Cameron, an investigative journalist and the managing editor of the Badger Project. That's a nonpartisan journalism nonprofit which covers Wisconsin state government and politics, and he recently did an investigation into this issue. And we want to hear from you. Should officers fired for misconduct be allowed to be to work in law enforcement? What bar do you think should be set for these officers once they are rehired? And what questions do you have about this story? Call in now, 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Now, Peter, as part of the article that you wrote about this issue, you talked to a number of policing experts, couple in the state who, you know, took a pretty hardline stance on what should happen with officers, you know, when they're fired for misconduct. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. There was one, his name is Patrick Soler. He's a professor at the University of Platte, Wisconsin-Platteville, where they have a criminal justice program. He's also a former, he was in police management. He was a police chief, and he took a pretty hard line on chiefs hiring officers who've been fired. He said if it was for misconduct, he said that should be a death sentence on a law enforcement career. That he said that law enforcement officers should be held to a higher standard than, I don't know, the average person, the average worker. He made a caveat if it was, you know, if it was a rookie officer on probation, but he said you should be very careful when hiring these people. I mean, one thing that another former police chief told me was that some officers, you know, that maybe they're in a, if they're not successful in a big city, in a bigger urban area that's very busy, where the policing job is very busy, they can be successful in a smaller, a slower Mayberry kind of situation, a smaller town. So that's something to keep in mind as well. One thing I just wanted to mention was that, important to note and with this story is that the number of law enforcement officers in the state of Wisconsin is at its lowest total number in the last 10 years. So we have the smallest amount of law enforcement officers right now than we've ever had in the decade. And that's the same with law enforcement graduates. So just an important piece of context to keep in mind as we look at this issue.
Sure. And what kind of hiring pressure does that put on departments when we have such a small pool in the state?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the question. And I mean, if there are less candidates, it's an employee market. So that could incentivize chiefs and departments to hire. Well, I mean, if they only have one candidate, they need to fill the spot. So, and that's another thing I want to mention is that so when an officer is fired, they often keep their certification, their law enforcement certification. And if a police chief has a choice between hiring someone that already has their certification and hiring a new recruit who they need to pay for to go to law enforcement academy, I mean, for a cash-strapped municipality, it might make sense for them to hire this officer who was fired somewhere else, who maybe wasn't great somewhere else, but they already have their certification, so they're ready to go. They can go right into circulation, start working, as opposed to hiring a rookie who you got to pay for to go to the law enforcement academy. You know, it would take some time before they're ready to start working. So, something else, kind of a pressure on police chiefs, law enforcement agencies, to maybe hire someone that's been fired somewhere else.
We are talking to Peter Cameron right now, investigative journalist and managing editor of the Badger Project. He recently did an investigation looking at the number of police officers who were fired, who are then rehired, and the circumstances involved. I want to go to one of our callers right now. We have Henry in Glendale. Hi, Henry.
Hi, how are you today? Thank you.
What did you want to bring up, Henry?
What I want to bring up is I'm glad this is a topic because as a former internal affairs investigator for Chicago, I've learned quite a bit in terms of the process. And I was hoping that part of the study, Peter, could involve identifying a neutral source for investigating as opposed to the department investigating its own. You know, what I found ideally is to have someone who represents the department in that source or committee or whatever form they need to use, but to have it in such a way that individual officers could be evaluated on standards that are, I guess, in a way considered universal as opposed to just local kind of standards. What do you think about that?
Peter, thoughts?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind, so this is the most extreme case, but in Wisconsin, for police shootings, there's a law on the books passed, signed into law by Scott Walker, Governor Scott Walker, that mandates an independent investigation must occur when there's a police shooting. So that means, and that means that a separate department needs to investigate the department where the officer came from, so that the department can't investigate itself. Usually in Wisconsin, the Department of Justice investigates it anyway. As far as independent investigations, I mean, fire and police commissions, every municipality has a fire and police commission that is supposed to be, that independent oversight over the police department. Are they truly independent? That's a question that's a lot of people bring that up, that they might be too cozy with the police department. And in Madison, Wisconsin, you saw a change there where the police and fire commission has got a little more independence. But yeah, that's a good question and probably something that needs to happen.
Henry, thank you so much for that call. One issue that I want to get back to, because we were talking about it just a minute ago, which is the certification process and then getting decertified. Now, police officers that are decertified, you know, they cannot rejoin the force. But getting decertified doesn't happen that frequently. But you did write about a couple of instances in Wisconsin where that happened. Can you just set the stage a little so people have some context about how you get to the decertification, how you get to decertification?
Sure. I mean, there were two in the last 18 months or so in Wisconsin, and they both were convicted of felonies. One was convicted of burglary. So that's a pretty cut and dried situation. Another one was on the job and ran a red light, was on his computer in the squad car and T-boned another car and killed a person. So yeah, I mean, if you have a felony conviction in Wisconsin, you cannot be a police officer in Wisconsin. So they were decertified. And I mean, you can just do some Googling and you'll see police officers, law enforcement officers, police officers, jail officers who have been convicted and they lose their they lose their certification. So they can't become police officers anymore. Well, let me say one more thing. There was this is part of the study, but I mean, part of the story, but there was a big study done by the Yale Law Review, and they looked at Florida. They looked at the state of Florida. Very comprehensive study looking at all of the officers in the state of Florida. And they found, probably not surprisingly, but notably because it was a very comprehensive study, that officers who have been fired and then rehired were more likely to be fired again than officers who hadn't been fired. So it's kind of a no-duh situation. But, it's one of the best studies out there. So that's just important to note.
Do you think that there's anything in the works to do a more broad, maybe national study to just see how commonplace these sort of wandering hires are?
I don't know what's happening in academia, but like we said, there at the national level in Congress, there's a lot of efforts to strengthen that national. There is a national registry of decertified police officers, but not all states participate in it. Wisconsin does. But not all law enforcement agencies even know about it, so they don't even know that they can check it. And it's only for decertified officers. It's not for someone that's fired but kept their certification. So there's a lot of potential to strengthen that database. And it's at the national level where it's harder to get things done in Congress.
Peter, before we let you go, we have about 30 seconds left. What are you planning on, investigating or taking a look at next?
Sure. Well, redistricting is coming up. So we're going to be keeping an eye on the gerrymandering process, on the redistricting process. Also doing a lot more with this list of fired officers. So taking a look at that. I just want to mention that. So my organization is the Badger Project. We partnered with Wisconsin Watch, the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, on this story. And the database of these 200 fired or forced out law enforcement officers is available on the Wisconsin Watch website. So you can look at it there. You can download it there. and see the database.
Well, Peter, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Peter Cameron is an investigative journalist and the managing editor of The Badger Project. That is a nonpartisan journalism nonprofit that covers Wisconsin state government and politics. Up next is news. Then we find out more about the state's hotel industry. I'm Jay Carlisle Larson. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.